Hello, Reddit! And hello, Palace Nobles of the Palace of Midnight. I'm Zeta Midnight, and I'm here to answer the questions you very kindly sent through to me for the AMA. The Valentine's AMA. mostly as a thank you for being around and for supporting me. But also because I don't think I've done one. I don't think I've done an AMA before, so I thought it might be a nice thing to do. I am comfortable, I have tea, and I'm ready to answer some questions. So here we are. I'm going to pretty much just start at the top and work through and then go on from there. Alright, so here we are. We have a question from... No, we don't. We have a little selection of questions from Perverted by Spanglish, which I do quite enjoy saying. Although every time I hear that handle, I think of... oh, darn it. What are they called? I can't remember what they were called, but the song was the Ketchup song, and they sang it in Spanglish, such as that is. I don't know if that gives away my age or what, so I'm going to hide in this cup of tea for a second. Okay. So, thank you, sweetie. I appreciate your questions. Let's see. We have, to kick us off, as a writer / performer, which do you prefer, writing or performing? This has changed in recent years. Before I came anywhere near Reddit, I was a writer, I was solely a writer, and any script work I did was for other people. it never struck me in a million years that I could perform anything. So when I decided to give it a go, I was like, oh, okay, I guess I can do that thing that other people are doing. Hooray! And now it's reached a point where I do far more performing than I do writing. Although I do write a lot of my own scripts. So I think in this context I do prefer performing. I like flexing that creative muscle, I suppose. Although if you were to ask me again in a couple of weeks when my next rather large writing project takes off, I might have a different answer for you. Okay, next. What do you look for in other people's scripts that makes you want to perform them? It's a couple of things. Mostly I look for scripts that touch on my own, that touch on my own kinks or my own fetishes, just because that makes them easier to perform, I guess, if there's something I can relate to on some level. But I also, especially recently, have very deliberately looked for scripts that haven't been performed already and need some love, or scripts that are particularly challenging. Oh man, yeah. I have recently been looking at scripts with fairly intense tags, because I've wanted to test myself. I've wanted to kind of push how far I perform and how I perform to see if I can, well, continue to create an immersive and real feeling experience, even when the subject matter of the script kicks off and becomes slightly crazy. But I do also look at character. It's important. I want a character that, even if I can't relate to them particularly, I want to understand them. I want to know where they're coming from, and that's in the writing. So I need to, if I'm looking at a script and I'm thinking, okay, do I want to perform this first? All those other things before I even get to a script. And then I'm thinking, can I read it? And then I'm thinking, can I read it? And do I hear a voice? Do I understand where this character is coming from? Even if I cannot put myself entirely in their shoes. See, now that you've made me think about that, there's actually quite a bit of thinking that goes into choosing what script to perform. Also vampires. Where's my recently recorded list? Here we go. No, that's not it. Yeah, so actually I say vampires, but I haven't... I think I've performed one... No. Okay, I've recorded a vampire script. It's on here now. And that might be the only one. But I do look for vampire scripts because I like vampires. They're fun. Okay. Next question. What's the one thing What's the one thing you wish somebody had told you before you started writing and recording erotic audio? I wish someone had told me how it could consume me. It was, when I think about how I began, because I was only posting like once a week, if I could keep up with that, on Literotica. This was back in 2017. And it was fun, of course it was fun, but I never anticipated that I would be writing longer and longer scripts, that I'd be challenging myself more, that I'd have my own kind of standard when it came to production values, how I'd suddenly want to create an entire soundscape, and how I'd agonize over a piece for ages and ages before I finally let it go, because I knew that if I kept messing with it in Audacity, I'd never actually finish and do anything else. I never expected to enjoy this so much, and I never expected it to consume so much of my creative time. I don't know how anybody would have been able to tell me that, because these are personality things, they're all very personal. But yeah, if I had known that before I began, I might have thought about it a bit differently. Okay, Morty. Okay, so thank you very much for those. Perverted by Spanglish, I will say your name as many times as I can squeeze in, because I just enjoy saying it. Next up we have RMP792. I don't know if I'm missing a joke or reference there. I probably am. I have slow moments. But I have some questions from you as well, so thank you very much. Okay, number one, if you could spend a day with any one person, living or dead, who would it be and why? What would you do and what would you talk about? Oh man. There are so many people I'd love to spend a day with, and some of them make me sound incredibly shallow, and some of them make me sound far more cultured and sophisticated than I actually am, and it's just like, which one of me? But for the purposes of today, that one name is sticking in my head. Okay, I would love to spend a day with Kenneth Branagh. He is an English actor, known particularly well for his Shakespeare roles, although he has popped up in stuff like Harry Potter and that other thing. Oh, pants. Darn it, what was it? Oh, no, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to check it. Kenneth, oh, see, he's right at the top of my list. Not that I search for him a lot or anything. Kenneth Branagh. Oh, jeez. Okay. Artemis Fowl? Really? Oh, calm down. Why do I get so excited? That's it. Wallander. And he directed Thor, which surprises me so, so much. I'm like, how do you go from Hamlet and Henry V to Thor? Yeah, he also directed the new, like, the live action Cinderella, but I know him for things like Othello, Dead Again, Wild Wild West, but don't talk about all that much. Frankenstein, which was amazing, by the way, you know, and probably his most famous Shakespeare, Hamlet, the three-hour monstrosity of awesome. He's also in a British version of Wallander. Oh, how do you pronounce it? Wallander? Wallander? Fuck it, I don't know. Wallander. And I've been quietly obsessed with this man since I was very, very young because I think he's awesome. He is the one who, through his movies, interested me in Shakespeare when my English teachers, my English lit teachers, failed miserably, mostly because they were miserable. And I basically just fancied the pants off him because he had a nice voice. The very first time I came across him, it wasn't in a film, it was his voice. I was listening to a dramatization of King Lear and he was playing Edmund. And I was like, who's that voice? Who the hell is this? I like that. So yeah, even from a young age, I've been quite an oral person. Yeah. So Kenneth Branagh, I would love to talk to him about his past work. I'd love to talk to him about how he finds the drive to keep doing what he does, because he's not as prolific now as he was in his early years, but the way he would churn out film after film after film, and he was doing theatre as well. Somebody with that kind of work ethic is somebody that I want to learn from. So we'd probably just hang out. Oh, I'd also ask him what his problem is with the word cool. He did an interview years ago now where he talked about the word cool and its overusage and how people who use it are various, very eloquently put, bad words. I'm like, dude, that's just how people talk, you know? Not everybody can be a thespian like yourself. So those are the kinds of conversations I'd like to have with him. Question 2. Same question, but this time with a fictional character, not a real person. Darn it. In that improv-y, rambly thing I did about aftercare a few weeks back, I talked about how after recording the audio that set me off, I was going to turn everything off, make a nest in my living room, eat chocolate, and watch Yu-Gi-Oh! Since then, I have finished the 5-season Yu-Gi-Oh! Story arc, and I remain as obsessed now as I was then, to the point that I have bought the 3 Yu-Gi-Oh! Movies, and as soon as I am done recording for you tonight, I will be watching the first of the 3. So, while this is not the answer it might have been a few weeks ago, darn you, friends of mine, I want to sit down with Yami Yugi. That's what I want to do. I want to sit down with Yami Yugi. Maybe even Yugi as well, fuck it, but mostly Yami. and it would be Yami because his voice is amazing, and every time I hear it, I just want him to bend him over, like, bend me over and spank me. Like I said, I'm a very oral person, so if I find a voice I like, that's pretty much endgame as far as anything else in the world is concerned, because I get consumed. Yeah, so I don't even know what we would do, just so long as he was talking. It wouldn't matter. And you know what? It wouldn't matter what he was talking about. He could read from the frickin' phone book. I wouldn't care so long as he was talking. Because I really, really love his voice. Yeah, that. Moving on from the embarrassing answer. Question three, what strange hobbies do you have, not counting GW8, and how did I get into them? Life stuff? Like real stuff about me? Okay, well, I don't consider, okay, well, I don't know, that is strange, isn't it? Okay, yeah, that's strange. I'm a LARPer, which for those of you not in the know is a live action role player, meaning the idea of playing a character or reading a script or pretending to be someone else for a period of time is not foreign to me, which is probably one of the reasons why doing audios in this way is so much fun, because it speaks to me the way LARP does. A couple of times a year I will put on costume I've made myself or bought. I've usually made it because I have very specific wants when it comes to my kit. I will take out my sword, don't panic, it's made of foam and latex, and I will go to the woods and beat people up because I do tend to play combat characters. That's my biggest strange hobby, I guess. I've always role-played in some manner, either through play by post when I was much younger, through chat clients, and then I moved on to tabletop role-play games like D&D and Pathfinder and anything by White Wolf, you know, stuff like that. LARP, I suppose, was the next natural step, and I was running a 3.5 D&D game very long time ago now, and one of the players suggested that I might like LARP, and I says, I have no intention of role-playing anywhere but on my butt. If you're asking me to run around, it's not going to happen. She somehow convinced me to go, and I've never looked back. It's so much fun, and I continue to be grateful to that friend for introducing me to something that's become a major hobby of mine. My other current obsession is crochet. I wouldn't say it's strange, but Yu-Gi-Oh! Has already proved I have something of an addictive personality, so I think in the past week I've made what's today? Thursday. So in the past week I've made three cushions, two appliques, a squirrel, a cat, and a tiny chibi version of myself. So it's been a busy week. Next question. If you had your choice between flight or invisibility, which superpower would you want and why? Oh my god. Oh, that's tough. I think flight. I don't have a fear of heights particularly, so that's quite nice. And just the idea that I could get to where I want to go without depending on public transport is really, really nice. And despite the characters and personalities I play in my audios, I'm far too nice a person to take advantage of invisibility. So, definitely flight. Question five. An asteroid will hit Earth in 7 days. The human race will be destroyed. No one else knows. How do you spend your last week? Well, shit. Oh, that's so sad. Okay, no one else knows. I'm not one for inciting panic, but this would be a case of drawing in my family from where they're scattered all over the country. And I'm not just talking about my blood relatives, I'm talking about my family. I have lots of relatives, but I have a very selective family, and that family includes people not of my blood, it includes people that I choose, you know, so very good friends. I will be collecting my family to me, and well, frankly, if the human race is going to be destroyed, we would just cause havoc for those 7 days. We would eat all the things, we would go all the places, see all the shows, do all the things, and it would be awesome, except for the whole death part. Okay, thank you. Those were fun questions. Thank you very much, RMP792. Next, the Real Joy Burger. I'd love to know the story behind that name. I'm not a massive burger person, but stick a piece of chicken between two slabs of bread and I'm not generally happy. But traditionally, it's a beef burger, isn't it? Okay, so here we go. Are there any pros slash cons of posting on Reddit versus Literotica? Also, do you have a favourite story? So you're someone who's followed me from Lit. Hi! And thanks, yes. I mentioned briefly that I initially posted on Literotica. That was where I did all my posting because I didn't... Well, frankly, I was scared of Reddit. I didn't understand it. And the idea of joining a large established community petrified me, so I put it off for ages and ages. The major pro to Reddit is that I can control the posting schedule. The big thing about Literotica is not only can you not post audio directly to the site, you have to do it through email, but then you have to wait for their once a week kind of gather of all the emails that they've had, and then all the audio goes out once a week. And I think there's only a team of two or three of them who have to handle this. So it's a bit frustrating when you have a schedule in mind, but you have to, basically you have to accept that you don't have that control. The current posting day on Literotica is Thursday. So as long as you send your email with the audio and do the control panel back end stuff before like 9 o'clock in the morning on the Wednesday, my time, then you're pretty much safe to get your audio out on the Thursday. But if you miss that deadline, then your audio won't go out. And that can be a bit frustrating. And even this week, I believe the audios aren't going out today, they're going out tomorrow. And that's, again, not something I have control over. So I do love the idea that I can just come into Reddit, pick where I want the audio to go, write the post, send it, and bam, off it goes. I can also edit the post if I need to. The amount of times I've made mistakes and I've had to correct them. Here and on Lit, but again, if I want to do that on Literotica, I have to send them an email, I have to wait for them to do it. With the at my service at your service series, I decided to change the umbrella title of the little series to get them, you know, to make it clear that they were sequential stories, and they still haven't got it right. You know, I wrote it in the email. I says, okay, this is what their titles currently are. This is what I would like them to be. This is what I would like the series title to be. And it's still wrong. Whereas on Reddit, I have all that control. So that's wonderful. However, I cannot deny that the user base and the fan base on Literotica is actually very loyal. And because they know that it's once a week, you can pretty much guarantee that you will have a flood of attention in the tail end of the week, which you can capitalize on if you're business minded. I'm not, you know, and make the most of that however you want to. But I think another big draw to Reddit is the community. I love the immediacy of the comments. I don't pay too much attention to upvotes. They're nice, don't get me wrong, but I value the comments so much more. People who take the time to stop and say something, because it means I can engage, whereas an upvote, I don't know who it's come from, I don't know when it happened, and there's nothing I can do to say thank you. So I do enjoy that aspect of Reddit, and I think as a social media platform, which is what Reddit is, even if it's a specialist one, it's a really big pro. As to my favourite story, I've got 67 audios now. And that doesn't count the exclusive stuff that doesn't get shared here. I don't know. Do you know what? I have 67... No, I don't. I have 68 audios at the moment, and that doesn't include the exclusive stuff. It doesn't include script fills. So that's... Darn it, that's a few to pick from. Okay, if I was forced to pick a favourite story... I assume you mean of mine? Like, that I've performed? I hope that's what you mean, because that's what I'm going to tell you. I am a particular fan of... Let me get this right, because sometimes I mix up the titles. Where did it go? Oh, it's one you don't know yet. I haven't posted it for you guys yet. it's... it's called Bend Over Bitch. And I think it's one of, it's definitely not the first, but it's one of the first pegging audios I've ever done. And I found that really entertaining to record. Mostly because not going over the top and completely wrecking my desk and my workstation, it was a real trick in of itself. But I did really enjoy that. Although that's not really answering the question. My favourite story is Queen of the Sisterhood. I really enjoyed that. The idea, I based it on very loosely on Drow society. So it's matriarchal and there is a male intruder within the sisterhood in their compound, and they've captured him, and now they have to interrogate him, find out what he's doing there, what he wants. the sisterhood, their method of interrogation is the controlled and very deliberate application of pleasure, because pleasure can be weaponized. And I really enjoyed that as an idea. But I like how I managed to... I like how the character went from one extreme to the other in terms of the control within the story. I'm not... For those of you who haven't listened to it, it's quite difficult to go through everything I want to say without giving spoilers. But there is an arc for the Queen. She starts in one place, she ends in another, and she's a different being by the end, and I love that. That's what makes a good story, that's what makes good characters. And I've been toying with another idea in that setting and with that character for quite some time now, and I have an outline for another little trilogy back within the compound of the sisterhood. So I like when that happens. I like when there's a story that kind of gets me in a way that I want to stay with that character and see where they go. So yeah, Queen of the Sisterhood. Ooh, longest answer ever. Okay, moving on. What's my favorite kind of kink to record? Also, is there anything you haven't recorded yet that you'd like to try? Okay. Actually, this morning I was having a look through some of the script fills I've done. The fills are far more telling about my kinks and fetishes than my own scripts are. And I've noticed that quite a few of the scripts that I fill include very rough blowjobs. Apparently, I really quite like recording that. There are a couple of instances where I've hurt myself getting a bit over enthusiastic with it. Oh my gosh, notifications. But yeah, that's a definite favourite. But I also like the submissive or the captured female trope. I enjoy that quite a lot. In terms of things I haven't recorded that I'd like to, not so much kinks, so much as collabs. I'm getting a real taste for working with other people, and I'm starting to notice more and more people that I'd love to work with. Okay, yeah, it kind of ties in. What I would love to do is an M sub collaboration. That's what I want to do. I want to let the inner femdom Zeta loose. I want to set her free upon a unlucky male. And I want to hear the other side of the exchange. So yeah, that's something I would love to try. But you get the chance to live out any one of your audios. What do you pick? Oh my. Oh no. Tons of my audios have the rape tag, so I don't... do you know what? I would... Oh, wait, have I posted this one yet? Darn it! No, it's on the calendar. Hang on, let me check my calendar. I'm organised. Whoops. Oh, it's not due out till next week, so you guys don't know about this one either. But all the good stuff is still to come, I'm telling you. There's an audio, it's on Lit, it's not on Reddit yet, but it's on Lit if you're curious. It's called Light Reading, Heavy Breathing, and it's about a librarian, Zeta, who is trying to pack up for the night, but she finds one of the older students of the university in the library while she's trying to pack up. She catches him with his trousers down. And shenanigans ensue. I would. That's quite attractive to me as an idea. Or even the very first one I posted over here on Gone Wild. Actually, it's called Going Down. Co-workers. Yeah, co-workers stuck in a lift. Female character Zeta has a bit of a panic attack because, you know, closed space, you don't know when you're going to get out. And her male co-worker... Why can't I say co-worker? Her male co-worker. There we go. Distracts her from her fear with fun and sexy shenanigans. If I had to pick any, I would pick those. I feel like I'm constantly teasing. There are a couple more that I recorded earlier on in the week, but these are nowhere near ready to go out yet, but they're fun. See if you can spot them in the next few weeks or so and think, oh, that must be what Zeta was talking about. Okay. You have a date coming over for dinner. What do you make to impress him slash her? Also, if the roles were reversed, what would impress you? Oh, I'm so easy to impress when it comes with food. Just as long as it doesn't have bloody mushrooms in it, I'm pretty much happy. I would probably do a roast, but there's this chicken thing that... the mother of an ex of mine made when we went to dinner there one weekend. It was this really nice kind of lemony rosemary chicken thing. You kind of just season everything with lemon and rosemary, basically. That's what it is. But it's new potatoes and it's chicken breast is best. You got to stab it though so it can like take in all the flavor and stuff, and you have to marinate it and you leave it for as long as possible, like overnight. But when I marinate things, I tend to leave them for a day and a half because flavor. And then you marinate it with the potato as well, so you do everything, and then you roast that, and then whatever veg you fancy. I'm quite a fan of tender stem broccoli, frankly. Not cauliflower, that's nasty. That. But the most impressive part, I like to bake, so it would be desserts. I'd probably make either one of my boozy apple crumbles or one of my decorated layer cake things. I decorate cakes too. little ones, you know, like cupcakes, and I do big ones as well, and that's fun. So yeah, posh dessert and a simple but very tasty dinner. What would impress me? Anything with chicken in it. I'm so easy to impress. I do. Basically, I really like chicken. And as long as it's not too greasy, I'm very, very happy. Although I do enjoy cultural meals. So, you know, there are certain people I visit and I know I'm going to get a Caribbean meal. There are certain people I visit and I know I'll get an Italian meal or a French meal. So something that I wouldn't necessarily be able to prepare myself, that I always appreciate. But mostly, so long as it's homemade, that impresses me the most. Taking the time to put energy and love into your food, that's impressive. Even if it's just fish and chips, you know, if you make that yourself rather than pulling it from the freezer, then that impresses me. I'm hungry now. Tea. Okay, next lot of questions. Okay, oh, hi Addy. So, since you've got some proper questions, I'm going to do some lols ones. Am I going to regret this? Okay, tell us all about your favourite childhood stuff. Oh, my favourite childhood stuffy. My favourite childhood stuffy was a bear. He was about 7 inches, 8 inches tall. I have no idea what colour he used to be because he's wrecked now. That bear has seen so much love. He was called Ted Ted. I was a very imaginative child. And he went with me everywhere. I do recall one holiday when we were travelling to see my grandmother, and we realised halfway up the motorway that I didn't have this bear, and rather than deal with the fallout, my parents turned the car around, drove us home, and then went back again to get to my grandmother's place, effectively doubling our journey. But yeah, that bear. I still have him. He's kept very safe. He's a bit delicate now. He has no nose. He has one eye. I have no idea if he had a mouth, but he certainly doesn't now. And he is threadbare. but yeah, that bear went with me to Paris. It went with me to Belgium and to Italy. Germany, did I say Germany? It went with me to France, it went with me to New York. That bear is well travelled. Okay. Question two. Do you like me? Yes, I do, baby girl. Three. If you could only drink one kind of tea for the rest of your life, that's so mean! What tea would that be? Well, oops. Okay, there's yarn in it now. Given that I'm currently working on a cup of peppermint here, I guess it would be peppermint. Although I'm really fond of chai spice. But again, I'm also very fond of Pai Mutan. And I'm also very fond of gunpowder and Rubios and vanilla Rubios and chocolate Rubios. So that's a tough question, and you're very, very mean. How dare you? Question four. If you could have any person/voice record any sort of message, audio, reading, fantasy for you, who, what, and why? Oh my god. It's split in half. Okay, so I'll deal with that part first. I would want, darn it, I'm going to do that cop-out thing again, but I can't help it. I would want either Keith David or Ian Holm, okay, to record a reading of, why is my brain gone dead? Of The Last Vampire series by Christopher Pike. That's I realize that's very specific, okay? But Keith David has an amazing voice. Ian Holm, before I had a clue what he looked like, I heard him play Frodo in the BBC dramatization of The Lord of the Rings, which is why I was so thrilled to know that he was playing Bilbo in Peter Jackson's film version. I was like, yeah, take it back to the roots. So that made me very happy. And Christopher Pike's Last Vampire series, because those books, there's six of them, I believe, although there might be more by now. Those books are not the reason, but part of the reason I am so obsessed with vampires. Hold on, I'm changing my answer. Wait a second. Hold on a second. I forgot. Oh no. As much as I adore Ian Holm and as much as I adore Keith David, I forgot about the voice I've been talking about for Dan Green. I want Dan Green to read me the phone book in his Yama Yugi voice. Obviously, excuse me, he voices Yugi and Yami, but screw the Yugi voice. I want his Yami voice, and I don't even care what he's reading. He can read me anything. Read me the phone book because it's nice and long. Oh my god, okay. Part two of the question, quick, 4A. If, excuse me, if Addie were to irrevocably lose her voice in a couple of hours, to know some drastic surgery or whatever, but she wanted to make good on that coup, what would that be? Sweetie, I don't know. Do you know what? I would want you to pick one of my MMMs, probably the, you've done perfect for now, haven't you? No, that's not what I want. Not one of the MMMs. I would want you to go into my aftercare suite and replicate the relaxation audio I did, because I think that would be lovely. There we go. So there, cheeky. Question is answered. Oh, you're still going. Right, so wait, read this. What, you want me to read it aloud? Oh, you! You're so mean. Oh, Addy, it's so long. No. Oh, man. I'll read some of it. Oh, what are you doing to me, woman? Lidville. Moya. What? Oh, okay. For those of you who are not aware or who don't know what's happening here, Addy has linked me to a wiki page entirely in Polish, and this is what she's asking me to read. This continues to be a running joke between the pair of us. The thing is, Addy, my darling, my sweetness, my very, very British brain looks at those letters and tries to say them the way I understand the letters to be pronounced, i.e. the English way. I can just about cope with the W being a V and the J sound being a Y, but once we start putting those little notes, what are they? The little accents on the E, and you've got one on the L as well, and I know there's some on K's and so on. I don't even know how to make the sounds. Lidville. I do a better job if I'm just repeating rather than reading. OJCZYZNO. Where do I even begin? Ojchizno. Chizno. Moya. Te yes. Yet. Yet. Are you laughing at me? Darn you. Yeah. Jovi? Is it Triz? Jezebia Hinikten Tilieko si Dove? 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 Oh my god. Kto se stressin? Oh man. This pekno. Dva vikele kalya kalya. You're so mean to me. I'm gonna get to the end of this little passage. Darn you to your little cotton socks. Ozdobi. Vidze I op. Pisuje po teskni po tobe? Tobe? That's all you get. Because that won't be funny to anybody but you. Oh dear. Wait, have you given me... No! You've given me another one. No. Oh, okay, what? Although, I'm sure I recognise some of those words, because I have been doing Polish lessons, okay? Stop picking on me, I'm just very slow at languages. What is this? No, you wind up. Do you think I'm enjoying this? I think you are. 7. Which of your audios did you find most difficult for any reason? Difficult either to record or to actually post? Oh my god, okay. Most difficult. Let me think about that for a second. I really should have given myself like a bit of a hint or at least a bit of help and like looked at some of these before I decided to start recording. From a technical point of view, the things that are most difficult are the audios that I feel require a soundscape. Obviously, I can get away with not doing that if I want to. They don't all require a soundscape, and to be honest, while sound effects can improve authenticity and immersion, I'm not creating radio drama, am I? So I don't need to have that kind of stuff. But I think things like, where'd it go? The experimental series, where I layer a lot of sound, they were quite tricky. Queen of the Sisterhood required quite a bit of sound as well. And because that was quite early in my recording, frankly, I wasn't as good at it as I am now, so that was tricky as well. In terms of difficult to record from a recording and acting perspective, A Date Turned Sour was really hard. That is an audio that will not be posted to Reddit. It just won't. It's on my Patreon, it's on Literotica, but I do not feel it belongs on Reddit. I think I did post it, and it was up for maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes before I just went, no, this doesn't belong here, and I took it down. True rape scenario, okay? So, what? Oh my god, no. Not true as if in based on a true story, but not In the same manner you see the rape tag used on Reddit, it's unpleasant. So that was very difficult. What else was difficult? Believe it or not, something different, two-part series, was actually quite difficult to record as well. The scenario there is, it's an old married couple. They know each other very well. They've been with each other for ages and ages and ages. And the wife is a prissy, stuffed-up type, and the husband is basically sex-starved. And he convinces his wife to try something different. And I found it very difficult to maintain the prissy, kind of aloof, almost Downton Abbey, if you like, persona of the wife while conveying the pleasure that she's feeling by the end of it. For some reason, I found that very, very tricky. Also quite tricky was Tie Me to the Railroad Tracks, a script written by Ravisher Girl. It is on here, so you can find it if you go have a mooch for it. That one was hard. That one was very hard, and I did it in one go, and I'm glad I did it in one go, but I got to the end of the section with the train and had to stop for a second. I remember pulling my headphones off my head, kind of standing up, pacing, realizing my hands were shaking a bit, and then realizing that my mic was still recording and apologizing, because I knew I was going to be sending that raw audio to Kilbeggan. And I remember apologizing, saying, look, I know that I cocked up at the end there, but I can't record that again. The intense fear aspect, the fear and the arousal aspect, was very, very difficult. They're the most challenging things I've done. In terms of actually posting, nah. Again, a date turned sour. I debated and debated and then lifted it. But everything else, nah, I'm kind of just like, yeah, let it go, man. Oh, there was one piece, my 100-to-1 challenge. I haven't posted it on Reddit. And when I did the Ramble Fap, that was quite difficult. I mean, I did it because I knew what I wanted and I knew that I wanted to try. Because I'd never done one of those before. But yeah, once you take the performance aspect out of an audio and it becomes real, those ones are difficult to post. Okay, there we are. I have talked for ages. Thank you very much, lovelies, for hanging out with me and for asking me those lovely questions. I am touched. I'm very grateful that you took time to ask me things. I'm also very grateful that you're here and you're listening, and I hope I continue to entertain you, however I have been. Happy Valentine's Day. I hope you've had a lovely day, and I'll catch you next time. Bye.